Good morning. My name's Marty, and if this is your first time here, you're not always going to have to deal with me every week. So just bear with me today. There are way better people that'll come up here and teach, like Ben. We'll talk about him today as we go. But this week, you've got me. So hey, hi, thanks. It's Thanksgiving week. We got stuff going on here. I see Kelly in the house. Kelly was like on the other side of the planet a couple weeks ago, and I haven't seen him since. I'm hopeful to hear about that today, and it's sort of applicable to what we're going to talk about today. If this is your first time here, like I said, it's not always me. Sometimes there's a way better looking guy up here that's got things to talk to you about. And Ben, I thought you brought great energy on the welcome this morning, and it's actually like challenging me to bring even more energy in this moment so that we can just keep that hype train rolling. The reality is some of you might be traveling in, some of you have traveled to do this week, and it's Sunday morning and you chose to be here, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for you. This morning, here in a moment, we're going to start off just a little bit differently. This is something that we do it. If you were an introvert in this room, I've got a timer prepared for you. So what we're going to do before we go to the timer is we're all just going to take 60 seconds to meet the people around you. And we're pretty tight today, so you're going to be able to maybe meet somebody that you've never met before. You can do something really simple, like tell them your name. You could do something like, hey, what's your plan for Thanksgiving? But for 60 whole seconds, we're just going to meet the people that are around us. So we got a timer on the board. On your mark, get set, go. Meet the people around you. 3, 2, 1, you did it. Well done. You guys can make your ways back to your spots. You all absolutely crush that thing. Way to go. I'll give you a minute to come back and get settled. Man, what a joy that was, especially for me to watch from up here. That was really cool. I've been in a church situation before where it was like I was visiting a church and I was kind of the person off on the side. And while that happened, I kind of like look left and they were welcoming over here. And then I look right and they were welcoming over there. And I was kind of like in here, and that didn't happen here. You all were like making it happen, and I appreciate you doing that so much. We're going to talk about that today, about being in a little bit of awkward moments and maybe taking the time to meet some people, and that's going to be a joy. Today, we're going to cover some verses that are going to seem super familiar, because two of the verses are verses that we've actually covered in the last 3 weeks. So there's going to be some stuff where, like, if you miss those, you'll want to go back online and catch them, because I'm going to kind of fly over those since we just had some teaching on them, but it also is going to kind of tie all this together in the identity series and wrapping it all into a bow here. So let's pray, and then we're going to, if you want to start getting there in your Bibles, it's going to be 2 Corinthians 5, 16 through 21 is what, after we pray, I will start reading from. God, we're so thankful for you. I'm thankful to see people that are willing to say hello to the people that are around Thanksgiving week. It would be easy to say, hey, look, we got traveling coming up. We're gonna chill out, maybe catch up on some things and be ready. We'll go to church online today, but everybody here made a decision to come, and I'm so thankful for that. It's exciting to be in this room with this group of people. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit is turning on the ears and the brains and the hearts of the people in this room to hear exactly what it is that you're trying to communicate. I pray that you would take over any words that I'm going to say and just push those out in a way that brings us closer to you, that helps us to know more about you and do what it is that you're calling us to do on a daily basis, even today and later into this week. God, we love you. We thank you. We pray this in your name. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. I'm going to read this out of NASB. This will be on the board, and so let's read. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now, all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespass against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's 2 Corinthians 5, verses 16 through 21. There's a lot to unpack here. And Ben taught us a couple weeks ago. We've got a great slide for Ben here. He's gonna really love this thing. Ben taught us, there he is, that being in relationship with Christ on his terms is what it means to be righteous with the Lord and with Jesus. And also he made a great point that Jesus didn't come to become a sinner or to sin, but rather he took on sin and took on that punishment. And we'll come back to that. But if you remember that 3 weeks ago, Ben goes over that piece. Next, 2 weeks ago, we had Fritz who focused on verse 17 and got these slides from me and didn't want to necessarily put these on here, but he did it for us because we love Ben, and we just love seeing that we got pastors with quotes, right? So he talked about how we are new in Christ. We need a new identity from Christ alone. The Holy Spirit's doing all the work, but the impact is on us. And Fritz also did a great job of just reminding us that, there were people that the Holy Spirit used in your life and my life, if you're a Christian today, to connect you to God. Maybe it wasn't one person. Maybe it was one person eventually that you'd be like, oh yeah, it was this moment. But there could have been people in the middle of that process that were sharing with you and brought you to a spot where you can make a decision and follow Christ and say yes to Jesus. For me, as we were studying this at teaching team and then preparing for this message, there were three big words that come to mind for me that stood out. And those three words are reconciliation, ambassador, and beg. So today we're going to talk about reconciliation, and I'm going to hope that I don't have to say that word a lot because it can be a little bit of a tongue twister. So we'll spend a little bit of time on reconciliation. We're going to spend a lot of time on ambassador, and then we'll talk a little bit about beg. So those are kind of our three core words and where we're going. So we'll jump straight into reconciliation. I'll ask you a question first. When you hear the word reconciliation, what do you think of? What terms come to mind? Anybody? Brought back. That's great. What else? Redemption, forgiven. Love it. Love it. What else? Somebody on this side of the room. I can't turn right, so I'm glad to turn right today. Caleb. Okay. Fighting back. I love it. I'll tell you guys, for me, when I first hear the word reconciliation, something way less fun. You guys gave great answers. I'm not nearly as close to God as you guys, I think, because for me, when I hear reconciliation, I think of a banking audit or balancing a checkbook. I'm there's some red and I got to make it line up and I got to reconcile these invoices, and I'm awful at all of those things. I'm sure that Angela is probably great at those things. That's not me. And I need help with those sorts of things. But you guys are all right. Reconciliation about being forgiven and all that all is perfect. The thing that I don't get on this reconciliation is that this is this past got that one. There's red in the ledger and we need to reconcile the things that have been done. The present things that are happening, I think I can get that one too. But the part that I can't fathom is that this reconciliation actually reaches into the future and takes care of the things that you didn't even know that you needed to have reconciled yet, which is wild to me. Don't know how God does that. Hard for me to wrap my brain around it. But I'm so thankful, and it's a joy to know that that seems all the debt. But we have to answer the question, how are debts settled? Right? So if we go to 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, should be on the board, we see a piece of scripture that says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own, you were bought at a price, and therefore honor God with your bodies." So there's a debt that needs to be settled, and for that debt to be settled, something has to be bought at a price, which begs the question then, what is that price? What is the price that has to be paid? So for that, we'll look at Romans 5, verses 10 and 11. And this is what it says. "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, it is much more certain, having been reconciled, that we will be saved from the consequences of sin by his life. That is, we will be saved because Christ lives today. Not only that, but we also rejoice in God, rejoicing in his love and perfection through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received and enjoy reconciliation. with God. We're going to leave that up there for a minute if we can. If you notice the brackets, this is an amplified version. The brackets are just like a little bit of added context to help you understand what's going on in this verse. And at the very beginning of that, in verse 10, we hear, for while we were enemies. So this debt had to be paid. Got it. What's that debt going to be paid, going to cost? Death of Christ. So he goes and pays that. But not only does he pay for it in the death of his son, we get this first part of the verse that says, for while we were enemies. I don't know who could think up this sort of thing, this sort of beautiful opportunity that God invites us into to recognize that we were enemies of God, and yet he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins to reconcile this debt. I don't know anybody that would do that. If we were talking like money things, nobody would be like, this person hates me and I'm going to go settle their debt for them. That's their own problem. They're in on this thing. And that's not what happens here. That's not what the scripture says. We are brought back into right relationship with God. And what a joy for us to enjoy reconciliation with the Lord because our debts have been paid. Debts that there's no big check. Elon Musk couldn't write this check for us, couldn't do it. There's no way that we could do it on our own. There's no part that we did on our own. There's nothing that you can do to balance these scales. Yet, your debt's been paid in full. And for everybody, your debt's been paid in full. If you're not a Christian today in this room, you're just here testing it out, trying to figure out what it is. You think that Sunday, this is a good day to go to church, and you're questioning what this is about. Please know that you have a God that loves you. And as we'll see here in a bit, he is desperate to bring you back into right relationship. Often we've got it on these cool little wristbands, right? To help you say yes to Jesus. And if you've never had that opportunity, man, I want you to do that. We heard it last week. We had two people do that for the very first time. That's the first step. Just say yes to Jesus. You can accept that it's already been paid in full for you. And you can start living in the freedom that that provides for you, which is a joy. So, if you are a Christian today, maybe you're sitting here in this moment and being like, okay, yeah, Marty's right. We did cover this over the last few weeks. We got it. We know that this is something that we have been given. It's paid in full. We can live in that joy and rejoice. But now what? What comes next? And I'm so glad you asked, because now we can move on to our next word, which is ambassador. So ambassador, we've got a kind of a Webster's Dictionary version of how to put that up there, an official envoy, a diplomatic agent of the highest rank accredited to a foreign government or sovereign as the resident representative of his or her own government or sovereign, or appointed an authorized representative or messenger. You guys get the idea. What an ambassador is somebody that goes into a foreign land looking for the best interest of what's going on in another land, right? Like the American ambassador to another country is trying to execute on American interest in that country and advocate for those things. In scripture, we see over and over that ambassadors are referenced as like representatives of a king, right? And that's kind of a really fun picture for us. We are the next step of the plan. It's our turn to be, I talked about earlier, like maybe there were several somebodies that said something to you. It's our turn as messengers of Christ, as ambassadors of Christ, to be somebody's somebody. We get to bring the greatest news to people, knowing that we don't change anything, that the Holy Spirit was doing the work in front of you. That was already happening, that you just get to go echo this message that God's speaking through you, through the Holy Spirit speaking out of you and turning hearts for just this moment. It's what Ben said a couple weeks ago in verse 21 when it said, he made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become righteousness of God in him. The righteousness is already there. It's already done. It's already paid for. There's nothing more that needs to be done. You just need to accept and follow and see what God might have for you on that end. So the question becomes for the brothers and sisters of Christ in this room is how are we doing with ambassadoring? If there's an English teacher in here, right? I'm so sorry. I know that ambassador doesn't have like a verb tense. I have a friend, his name's Nick. He is so good at like the English language, and he'll preach and like tear scripture apart and be like, this is what the verb says here, so this is the action. I'm not that guy. I actually called him yesterday just to say like, hey, I'm going to turn the word ambassador into a verb. I'm going to say ambassador. He thought it made sense. So I'm sharing that with you today. We made a new word. Congratulations. Blessing Community, dated November 24th, 2024. We did it. Ambassadoring. How are we ambassadoring? You spell it with an O. There's an O in there. Okay. The reality is there's some risk in sharing the gospel, right? Like, you could experience rejection. That could happen. I have a friend, his name is Habibullah Husseinali. Habib's great, great hard worker, sweet guy. Grew up in Iran. And so one day at a lunch, I get to sit down with Habib and I'm hearing about his life. And Habib grew up in a spot where, like, he came to the conclusion that anything to do with religion, anything to do with scripture was really just for one of two things, control or money. That's all that had to do with anything. And so he spent the time to ask me, he's like, well, that's what I believe. What do you believe? And I was able to share with him the hope of the gospel and shared him what I thought about that. And he could only hear what's the end of this, right? The end of this is, well, if I don't believe what you believe, then I go to hell. And I disagree with that wholeheartedly. I don't want to have anything to do with that. And he didn't like it. Habib and I are still friends, but he didn't want to look at that possible future. And he wasn't willing to make any change. And so it was weird. And we ended a weird lunch. And, you know, like I said, we're still friends. It's okay. I care enough about him to still say, this is what truth sounds like, and go through the thing. They could ask you some really tough questions, right? The reality is when people are curious and trying to figure things out, some of the things that stand in the way are really hard circumstances that have happened in their life, and they're just not willing to respond to the gospel because they don't believe something about God, or they have a question that maybe God hasn't revealed the answer to you yet. There's a high school, he's a grown man now, but his name's David McClure, and I love David. David was, Caleb, David would be just like you. He was a junior high young man that loved the Lord and wanted to do some things, and sometimes got a little excited and like jumped off of something that he shouldn't jump off of. But David, because he loved the Lord, he was like, hey, I'm going to share the gospel with my friends. I'm going to tell them about things. And David would, every single time, he'd be like, okay, I share the word, and this is my friend, and I'll use Kyle. I don't remember if it was a guy named Kyle, but he goes, this is Kyle, and Kyle wants to know this. And I was like, well, what did you tell him? I don't know. I don't know the answer, right? And that was okay, right? Like, he brought him back to youth group, and he kept it, and he would do that over and over and over again, and he grew a whole bunch. Like, he learned things, and it was a joy to know that David was, like, willing to do that and willing to say, I don't know. Because that'll happen. If you share the gospel, if you're ambassadoring well, there's going to be times where people go, hey, that seems really tough, or I don't necessarily understand that. And you can say, I don't know, so uncomfortable. You know, as I was studying how to be an ambassador and look at this, God kept kind of bringing this thing up in my head of like, what's the difference between an ambassador and a fan? For me, I really enjoy sports. Like, the Bears are going to play later today, and I know my Bears are bad at football. I get it, guys. But I love the Bears, and I'll let it mess with me, right? Like, my poor bride, if you knew how many times she's had to be like, shh, the kids are sleeping, because I'm, like, jumping around and getting excited and being a little over the top. I get passionate about what goes on in these football games. By the way, I saw some Bluffton Letterman jackets in here. Congratulations, guys. You guys are doing the thing. I am super, yeah, we need to hype it up for Bluffton High School doing the thing. I know that, you know, a typical Friday night at Amy and Donna's house right there on Main Street is techno, flashy lights, all the kind of music, right? And they just got extra energy flowed to their house with the fire trucks coming into town the other night and all that. I know that they were ready for that and just joined into the celebration. So congratulations, guys. It was great on that. So hyped for you. Let's go win next week, right? Being a Bears fan, like, while I put all the energy in and I get excited and I scream and holler and do the thing, and maybe I, you know, spend time talking with Ben about how Caleb Williams, if he just had this, and Ben telling me that Caleb Williams is bad at football, and we talk as if somehow we know better than the professionals and how those things are going to go, we can get so involved and ingrained. Like, yesterday, I heard people watching that Indiana-Ohio State game, and Indiana scored first, and people are like, what's going to happen, right? At the end of the day, our fanship, our passion, our whatever, you know, we're wearing the shirt, we're wearing the coat, we got the hat on, we do it all. It means nothing in the outcome of the game. We're just fans. We just get to celebrate and, you know, put some energy in it, but we don't actually have any effect on the outcome of the game. As an ambassador, I may feel some rejection or some disappointment. In fact, like I said earlier, we almost certainly will. But in this mission, should we choose to accept it, You should know that. We might just get a front row seat to see a miracle. Like we may be another step in the right direction from someone. Or the point is, like, as ambassadors, we're more than fans. We're more than just, I wear the Bluffton Community shirt because I love Bluffton Community. I love you guys. And there's so many shirts like that here today. But I could be a fan of Bluffton Community and do that. If I'm not an ambassador, that's what the scripture's calling us to do, is to actually go to the next level, to have the conversations, to be willing to be vulnerable with people and talk to them about what it is. It's verse, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's the game. He's making the appeal through us. We're the plan. We get to be in the game. We get to have a part of that. This next spot, I'm going to ask for two volunteers. One of those volunteers is maybe somebody named Ben. I'd love for him to volunteer in this moment. There are no speaking lines in this, Ben, but if you'd come join us, that'd be one. And another volunteer, has anybody in here ever waited tables in their life? You've waited tables? Would you be willing to be a volunteer for us today? Let's go. Hey, big round of applause for our volunteers. Let's go. Hey, guys, this is Ben. Ben, who are you?
I'm Ben.
He's Ben. Okay, and I don't know your name. I'm Marty.
I'm Haven.
Haven, it's nice to meet you. Thanks so much for coming up here. I've just got a quick little setup to do. I'm going to set that down. All right, here we go. Ben, if you would come to this side of the table. Haven, where did you wait tables before in your life? That's incredible. Thanks so much for doing that. So I want you guys to picture this. Ben and I commonly might go to a lunch, right? And I've got it all set up here. When Ben and I go to lunch, we always go to a candlelit lunch. This is how Ben and I go to lunch, right? We go and we obviously talk about things like the hypostatic union and transubstantialism and all those things. We wouldn't talk about how Notre Dame has no shot against Oregon or Ohio State or anything like that, right? Like, we wouldn't have that conversation. But anyways, okay, so Ben and I are sitting down for lunch at your restaurant. We're at Haven's restaurant. Congratulations. And I'm gonna give you this. What would be, you've come to our table, we're sitting here, what would you ask us probably first?
Hi, I'm Haven.
Hi.
What can I get you to drink?
That's perfect. Gosh, guys, she got no lines in this and she nailed that one perfectly, right? Way to go, Haven. I would probably say something like, I would love a water today, Haven. Ben, water. Awesome. Thanks. We'll both take a water. And then, hey, Haven, before you go anywhere, something that Ben and I like to do is that we're probably going to pray to bless our food and pray for some things. Is there anything that we could be praying for you today?
Yeah.
Yeah. What you got? You can say no, or you can say yeah. You got anything we could be praying for?
Final season.
Final season.
I'm a college student.
That's real. All right, final season. Ben and I are going to do that. Ben and I then, you would probably go ahead and go get our drinks, right? Hey, there's our drinks. And Haven, we're going to pray for you. We're actually going to do that right now. God, thanks so much for this time with Ben today. Thanks for lunch. Thanks for Haven being our waitress today. And she's coming in to be able to know all the right answers and do all the right things and put in the work necessary to win. God, we love you and thank you and praise in your name. Amen. And there we go, right? Like, hey, big round of applause for our volunteers. Thank you guys so much. You can go back. Ben, thanks for coming to lunch with me. Yeah, if you want them, you can have them. Thanks, man. I'm going to put my candle away. There we go.
You guys weren't even hungry.
I know. We would have got there, right? We would have got to lunch eventually there. But you guys get it, right? Like, in that moment, we were able to, by the way, that the very first time I went to lunch with Fritz, that's exactly what we did, and I've stolen that shamelessly ever since then. That's the game. It's so easy in that moment just to ask. And someone, and occasionally they do, they just go, I don't know, man. And that's okay. That's all right. We're like, hey, we're going to be praying for you to have a great day and have the best tips and have all the best customers, right? But sometimes, and Haven had a real one. Again, Haven, I've never even met you before today, so you just crushed it. You've got like a future in acting or improv or something. I mean, that was incredible. But you saw how quickly we can just be an ambassador in a moment where we say, hey, I'd like to pray for you, and see what door that might open. Love that for you guys. Thank you so much. All we need to do in this moment is you have your antenna up. You're looking around. You're looking for the moments that God might have for you, that the Holy Spirit's been doing the work. What I didn't know maybe is that Haven's had a big stress in her life, something that maybe she wants prayer for, and is just waiting for that moment that somebody would engage with them. And That's a joy. That's something that we want to pray for. And in fact, because I love to just stop and pray when it's like necessary, I just want to pray again in this moment. God, I pray that we are not just fans. We can celebrate and do all the things, but we can get in the game. We can be ambassadors. And so I pray that we be ambassadors and more than fans in all that we do, and follow you really, really well. We love you, Lord, and pray this in your name. Amen. We're going to keep burning along here. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. It'll be back on the board again. I'm going to try to chill out here for a minute. I know I'm talking fast. I apologize. Starting in verse 19. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. Verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. In this, we see Paul is in the middle of, you know, he's been in prison for sharing the gospel, but that's not his set point. His set point is I share the gospel. That's what I do. It's the most important thing. We are the ambassadors. He's willing to do what it does in the kingdom's cause, trying to accomplish kingdom cause. We see the world differently as ambassadors. We see people who need something that we have. And so we beg, because this week could bring you back into the circle with someone that maybe you've prayed for years, that you've begged on Christ's behalf for their salvation, that you've already had the awkward conversations with. This could be the moment that we're on our knees, humbled before God, begging for a miracle, imploring those who have not yet said yes to Jesus. We can trust that the Holy Spirit is at work and our obedience does not return void. Maybe there's an opportunity on the horizon that there's a person that you've given up on, that you did the prayer, you had the awkward, you did the things, and it just never happened, and so you've kind of set it aside. This scripture might be your prompting in this moment to reconcile that situation, to be an ambassador of the gospel, in a moment that we beg on behalf of Christ for life change. We had an awkward moment at the beginning. We felt it. It was kind of weird. You got to stand up and look around and find people, and it's just okay. Our ambassadoring is more important to us than any of the things, any of the awkward moments that might be coming into there, and begging, or your version in verse 20 may say to implore. Paul reveals something so pressing and sweet, that there is intentionality and intensity from God for restored relationships with him. He's already done it all for all time. He uses us to communicate that truth. And how humbling it is, if you're a Christian in this room, we are the messengers of our King that sends us out and sends us to share the hope of the gospel everywhere we go. If we look at 1 Peter 3:15, we see it says, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the people, for the hope that is in you, but with gentleness and respect. This is where we always have to be ready. We always have to be ready to share the gospel. God has done something amazing in your life. If you're a believer today, you've got this miracle. He took a heart of stone and turned it into a heart of flesh, and how you were dead and now are alive in Christ to share the truth, like we saw in verse 21, which is the gospel. See, in back in like 1997, so many of you weren't born yet, right? Back in 1997, there was a football that was kind of spiraling through the air, aimed directly at this beautiful young woman's face. And then thankfully, this strapping young buck comes and knocks the ball out of the air, saving her from like death in that moment, right? Later on, that couple, that they would start dating, and they would get married, and they would have a bunch of kids, and they would live happily ever after, right? That's a cool story. It's a fun little Hallmark story. You know, they'd buy it and be like, you know, big city girl, small town guy, the whole thing, right? Here's the real story. These two kids, while they do have a fun story and they did meet that way, they dated through high school. They had a kid. They then they got married and had some more kids. And yeah, I know, like, had the kid, then met the Lord. We got some things out of order on that one, right? But God stepped in and blessed us. But because we weren't like staying united with the Lord, and we kind of let sin overwhelm the relationship, it all kind of fell apart. But thank God there were ambassadors for the Lord that when divorce was the last thing on the table, and the next step, the next logical step in this relationship, irreconcilable differences were shot down by the reconciliation that only God can provide. in that moment, God stepped in with scripture and with people to say, hold on, this is not what we would have for you. People that love them enough to have the awkward conversation and push them forward. And I tell you this story only to say, like, since then, there have still been mess ups. There's still been things that aren't good, but the relationship has moved forward and honored God and done the things that it ought to do, and been blessed a whole bunch because people were willing to step in and help us. And you have a story that probably sounds nothing like that one, but you have a story. You have a story that somebody could use, somebody who's in a struggle. For me, it's very easy for me to see a couple that's in trouble and be able to share because I've been there, right? And believe me, whatever it is that you've seen God save you from in your realm, in your world, in your things, you'll see these moments where God will use your story. He'll use you to be an ambassador in that moment and share the good news of what God's done in your life. We are the messengers. The price, you know, the way that you can just real simply do this is be on the ready to share that God created us to be with him. And while our sins separate us from God, there's nothing that we on our own accord can do to fix it. But God paid the price for sin, rose from the grave, defeating death, providing anyone and everyone eternal life through right relationship with him. We're the messengers, we're the ambassadors, we're the representatives. Let us just get in the game. At this moment, there will be prayer partners in the back of the room for anybody that wants to go connect with those people. Maybe you need prayer. Maybe this is a moment where you just want somebody to pray over a situation that you have, whatever it may be. Those folks are back there for you. I pray that you feel the action behind this, right? Not because of anything that we've done. You're doing nothing. Trust that the Holy Spirit has gone before you. The Holy Spirit will speak through you. And maybe, just maybe, you'll get to have a front row seat to see a miracle happen. Let's pray. God, you are so good. We're so thankful for you. It's Thanksgiving week. Family's coming in or see some people. We get to have encounters with people that there are going to be some tough conversations and tough relationships. And maybe we're just seeing people and it's all just joy. Everything's good. But we know that somebody is not doing what's best in their world or there's an opportunity that you're placing in front of us. I pray that we would capitalize on those things, that we would be cognizant from this day that we are the messengers, we are the representatives, we are the agents in a foreign land. If you call yourself a follower of Christ, if you said yes to Jesus, we are in a foreign land and it needs us to share what God has already done for all of them. God, we trust you and we love you and we thank you and we pray this all in your name. Amen.